The Inspired Disorder podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T.com. Makers of fine supplements such as New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Alpha Brain. And if you check them out at Onnit.com, if you're interested in buying any of those supplements and want to save 10% on your order at checkout, use the coupon code INSPIRED and you'll save 10% on your order, and that will help us out, just as everything helps us out, including just getting this show started would help us out.
Welcome to the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Red Bull Podcasts inspired by life, love, stress, and setbacks. With your hosts Ray Taylor and Justin King. Disorder starts now.
So, another podcast, Justin. How you doing today?
Here we go again. Doing good, man.
Cool. So it hasn't even been a week since we recorded one of these. So, there. I don't know what I'm proving by doing this, but I'm proving something. Right? So I guess we could just start out with, I got a Twitter comment question, I guess. Izzy Rock 73, IZZY ROCK 73 on Twitter, tweeted me this morning. I think it was this morning. Asking us, he just tells us that, Postal Poet got him listening to the, or recommended us or whatever. And, he started listening, enjoys the show. Awesome. Thank you. And, he wanted us to discuss movies or music that we've enjoyed or do enjoy. We've kind of talked about this here and there in the past.
Sporadically.
Well, we did have the big, huge music discussion back.
You did have the music one. Yeah, that was epic. That was like 3+ hours.
Yeah. And I think I even edited it down, sadly. I think I cut some of that out. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So anyway, it's, you know, been a long time. So I guess, you know, we can talk about that today. Is there been anything in particular you've seen recently, or I don't know where we should start this discussion, Justin. What kind of movies do you like? What kind of movie man are you?
I'm a fan, I would say, mostly if I was to name like a number one, I would say science fiction. Mm-hmm. As far as genre of movies go. Start with Star Wars, like so many other people out there, and just branched off from there, you know, huge Star Trek nerd, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, you know, even into like not the outer spaceship, but like stuff like Lost and, you know, shows like that. But sticking with movies anyways, sci-fi, I would say is my number one. I mean, I like everything though. I like the action movies, like the Michael Bay explosions everywhere kind of shit. Mm-hmm. I prefer something with a good story, you know, like as with you, Ray, Fight Club's one of my favorite movies of all time, which I guess kind of borders on sci-fi as well because of the story being so outlandish, you know, but also kind of relatable. Although that's another kind of like hard one to kind of like pigeonhole into like a genre, you know, mm-hmm. in my opinion. It's just awesome. But I don't know, I like a lot of different styles of movies, man. I would say sci-fi, like I said, it's my number one, but a broad range. I watch pretty much everything. I'm not into the chick flicks, obviously. I hate that, all that shit. So I am sort of skeptical. I can't say I'll just watch anything, you know, but anything with a nerdish kind of twang to it, send it my way, man.
Nerd.
What about yourself, Ray?
Well, I don't know if I can pick like a genre. I'm a big fan of like independent movies. So I used to be like super, I used to watch a lot more movies back in the day, especially, I mean, a lot more recently back in the day, but also like 10 years ago, well, not 10, yeah, 10 years ago. Fuck, man. I've been out in San Diego. It'll be 10 years this June or July. But before I moved out here, I used to work at a movie theater for 3 years. And then I also, for a part time, for a short time in that, I also had a second job at Blockbuster. So I was like super got into movies, and watched like everything, back, because you could see movies for free when I worked at the theater, and then I could rent anything for free at Blockbuster. So I really got into movies, and I really started learning more and following certain directors. Like, I'm a huge Scorsese fan, Tarantino, Michael Gondry, or Michel Gondry, however you pronounce it. Like I'm a big fan of like certain directors, and certain directors have kind of fallen off. Like, I used to be a big, I was actually talking about this recently, a big, Farrelly Brothers fan, you know, freaking Me, Myself and Irene, Something About Mary, all the classics. But they haven't done a good movie that I've seen since, I think, Me, Myself and Irene was probably the last one that I can remember anyway. But you know, same thing with, what was his name? It's another director that kind of, I lost interest, kind of Kevin Smith for a while, until he came out with this most recent one, Red State. Have you seen that one yet?
I have not seen that yet. No,
it's not like, if you saw that and didn't know it was directed by Kevin Smith, you would never know. It's like not his, it's not a comedy. And it's not same style. It's not, it usually has like the same actors and stuff. None of the same people. It's like kind of a gritty psychological thriller drama, like some action pieces in it. It's awesome. It's really good. Especially, you know, considering that it's from the guy that did, you know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which I think that was probably the last film of his that I was mildly entertained by. I never watched. Are you a fan of, like Clerks 2, any of those?
Oh yeah, definitely. And, I forgot to mention Tarantino and all those guys too. Yeah. I mean, obviously also a huge fan. Mm-hmm. In movies like, you know, Pulp Fiction are kind of what started it off for me as far as like me getting real serious about movies. I mean, like, holy shit, movies can be fucking nuts.
Yeah. Actually, so the first time I saw that movie, Pulp Fiction, it was the same time, around the same time Michael had come out, the movie with John Travolta where he's an angel comes down. And I remember I was young. I don't remember what age I was. But my mom was like, had heard about this amazing dance scene that John Travolta, she was like a John Travolta fan, probably from like Greece or whatever. And, so she had heard about this, you know, awesome dance scene, or this dance scene that's in this new movie that he was in. And, she had rented Pulp Fiction thinking that it was Michael. Like, she didn't know that the movie that everybody was talking about was,
little bit of a difference
was Michael.
There.
Yeah. Which there is a small dance scene in Pulp Fiction. But yeah, so I remember I was at my aunt's, we were visiting my aunt and, you know, nothing to do. So my mom took us to the video store. I don't know if I had a friend with me, or maybe it's just, I don't know. But it ended up renting it and watching it. And it was like, I think that may have been like my first rated R movie too. Or at least, I mean, that's gotta be the hardest R movie that I had seen at that age, because there's crazy shit. Well, first, I don't even know if I could follow the plot of the movie. Because I'm almost positive I'd never seen a movie. I mean, movies had never jumped around timeline wise like that movie did.
Yeah.
But I remember just the fucking amount of, like, you know, there's, you know, the whole, I don't know, there's just like so much stuff like that I experienced a lot watching that movie at that age.
Yeah, for me, it was like dialogue, just how intense that dialogue was in that mm-hmm. movie, and how intense, like, just the talking was
without anything
really going on, just a conversation happening. But just like it broke new boundaries for me as far as, you know, showing me what dialogue was capable of doing in a movie was Tarantino stuff.
Fuck yeah, man. And I mean, epic, like the scene with him and I can't think of his name. I'm like blanking on names right now.
The diner scene?
No, the one with the gun where he does his whole spiel. Samuel L. Jackson. Fuck, man. Jackson
in the diner, right at the very end, where they're
getting held up. He's in with the guys, in the apartment where they're trying to find out some information from one of their roommates, and he, like, the guy just got a burger and he's like, can I have your burger? And he has that whole, like, monologue.
That's right.
And that's, like, one of the most epic. And that's been, I saw a parody of that, or a reference to that on a House. And I think there's been other shows that have kind of used, like, redone that scene. But that's an epic scene. But yeah, that
Tell your bitch to be cool. Tell your bitch to be cool at the end, dude.
Yeah, that one's cool too. Be cool, Moneypenny. Be cool. But yeah, that movie probably changed me in some way. I don't know if it was right for me to watch that movie at that age. That would probably explain a lot.
It's a good little stepping stone.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, my favorite movie. I mean, Fight Club. Fight Club was my favorite movie for a long time. It's still one of my favorite movies. I don't know if it's, I mean, it was my favorite movie mostly because of that period of my life, like all the things I was going through personally, and then just also the idea of where the country was at. Like, we have no great war, we have no great depression, and then, you know, George Bush is like, hey, I'll fix that, and then, you know, now we're kind of in a bunch of wars and in basically a new depression. So there's some themes of that movie that don't resonate as much just because a lot of things have changed in our society since then, or at least, you know, financial or whatever. So it doesn't have as much weight as it used to have. Probably one of my favorite movies. I don't know if it would be considered my favorite. It probably would, I guess. Like, just overall story, visually, writing, acting, like every, I don't think there's a single part of this movie that I wouldn't say is amazing. And that's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It's like one of my favorite all-time movies. I mean, one of my favorite directors, Michael Gondry. He does, like, a lot of he mixes, like, special effects, like realistic effects, and like CGI, like the best of I've ever seen. And he uses more practical effects than any director, I think, nowadays. And that movie, like, showcases so much of it. It's like my favorite screenwriter too, Charlie Kaufman, who's done, like, Being John Malkovich, Synecdoche, New York, this movie, see here, I'm looking it up because I'm retarded. Adaptations, an awesome movie. It's probably, like, one of my favorite, Nicolas Cage movies. Like, that's one of his last best acting roles, I think. But Eternal Sunshine is like story. I mean, every part of that movie is just so amazing. So that might be my favorite movie now. Although Fight Club will always have, like, one of those monumental movies of my life. Like, this, there's a pin of movies in my life, and that's a little flag on that says Fight Club.
Fuck yeah. There's two movies that came out around that time for me that, like, were fucking monumental and kind of, like, me shifting towards, like, wanting to do graphic design and work with computers and mm-hmm. just, you know, fuck around with that whole, you know, idea. The Matrix is one of them.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well. Yeah. And Fight Club, I believe they came out in the same year, actually, 99, I think, or 98. I'm trying to remember.
Because I was working at the movie theater when Fight Club came out. And
99 was episode one, which is a whole different situation I don't want to get into.
Yeah, it is 99. Holy shit. So that must have...
That was a fucking crazy year then, because that was the same year that episode one Star Wars came out, which that had a huge hype, obviously, until everybody found out it was a piece of fucking shit.
I actually went to... I graduated in 99 and high school. Me and two of my friends, we ditched senior day to go watch episode one of Star Wars. And shortly after that, I got my job. So yeah, I was at the theater. So that makes sense, Fight Club. That's so crazy.
Well, just the Matrix for me, just like the way it was shot, just the whole world it created. I hadn't seen a world like that get created in a movie for a while, or like a whole new universe kind of start up and like already have like instant recognition and just I don't know, I'm not sure I'm trying to say here, but The Matrix is like I could just tell when I was watching it for the first time that it was something groundbreaking and it was going to influence every other movie after that.
Well, it's like
that I don't remember, you know, because when I was a little kid I saw the original Star Wars movies in the theaters. I was young enough. I saw Return of the Jedi, but I was like 4 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as seeing something like that, I don't remember that shit. The Matrix was the first movie or the first kind of movie in a series of movies that painted this whole new environment and was just like, from the get-go, like, holy shit, this changes everything. So that's why I loved The Matrix and Fight Club so much, because they both kind of broke so many boundaries as far as what movies were and what they could do, what they could be, you know, all that shit.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I for the Matrix, I mean, visually, so many of the effects in that movie, not just CGI, but also like the wire foo stuff, like none of that had been done. I mean, a lot of that had been done, but none of it had been utilized and put together in such a way that it was like, it's like, how are they making this movie? You know, like so many of those scenes, like how the fuck did they do that?
Exactly.
And it was like, and I think the marketing for that, I don't really remember any of the trailers. I just remember like, for some reason wanting to go, like it looked like a badass movie, and but not really knowing what the fuck it was going to be about, and then going to see it and being just blown away by like everything. Like the story was so insane, the effects weren't so, like every part of that was so like mind blowing. It was awesome. Yeah, that one. Yeah, Fight Club, like story wise that was really cool, and I actually, because of that, I started reading Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote the book Fight Club was based on. I read like a bunch of his books, and they're all like, they all come like they're, you know, the people the story's about is very like anti-hero type of thing, and like very, it's very interesting characters, and like super interesting like how these characters and on all the different books, like how they go about making money is so crazy, like so random, like these random ways and schemes and things on how to make money. It's pretty awesome. He's like obviously my favorite, I guess my favorite writer of books. I've read most of his books, and more of his books than any other one author that I can think of anyway. But yeah,
I'm trying to think of the name of the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas guy. Isn't Hunter S. Thompson, right?
Yeah, he wrote it. He wrote that, or is based on a story he wrote or something like that. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And he did, I watched a documentary on him. Really interesting. And there was another movie that just came out this past summer or fall with Johnny Depp, and it was another story based on the writings of Hunter.
The Rum Diary, yeah. I want to see that still. I believe it's on Blu-ray at this point, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's out on Blu-ray. Yeah, I was looking about renting that too. It looked cool.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing, another personal favorite as far as movies go. Never read the original book. Still want to get around to reading that. Yeah. But the movie itself was just so well done. I mean, I couldn't imagine the movie doing a better job, even after reading the book, you know.
Yeah. It's hard, man. Like, I cannot read Fight Club because I've watched the movie so many times.
I know, because, like, you want to, with a book, I mean, the main reason why I like to read a book is because you like to imagine what the characters look like and imagine that environment. And if you see the movie beforehand, that environment's already there. So it takes so much away from the experience of reading the book.
Well, and a movie usually is about like 2 hours or, you know, 90 minutes, usually around there. So, and it's for a script for a movie, it's a page a minute basically. So you're cutting like a 300-400 page book down in like half, or even, you know, 120 pages. So you're missing a lot of stuff. And in Fight Club, there's like, they shift, they kind of Tarantino the story a little bit. They shift certain events around in time. So it's like, you know, like you said, you like to imagine, you know, your own kind of characters and what they look like, what scenes are going on. So while I'm reading it, I can't do that. I'm just like thinking of the movie pretty much. But then they like change scenes and stuff, and it's like, it keeps throwing me off. But I haven't tried to read it in years, so I don't know. It may be different now. I may be able, because it's, I haven't watched Fight Club in a while. Well, I probably watched it like a year ago, but I don't watch it as regularly as I used to, because it was one of those movies, you know, it's like you have those movies. I don't know if it's still true today, or if it's maybe just a certain time in your life where it's like you watch a lot of the same movies over and over again. Like Fight Club would watch over and over again. Super Troopers you'd watch over and over again. Freaking Dumb and Dumber, watch that over and over again. Like there was these standard set movies that you'd throw on, or you'd throw on The Matrix if you wanted to, you know, impress people with your surround sound or your home theater setup. It's like, I don't do that as much as I used to. Did you ever do that? Did you ever have a time where you, like, you and your friends, whenever, like, you know, you'd be hanging out, or just you yourself, like, there'd be these standby movies that you'd always go to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's so just special effects and just good sound quality, good production values are in every movie nowadays, mm-hmm. for the most part. So just the whole thing is kind of just like kind of drawn out. So it doesn't really have the luster it once had, in my opinion, you know, because mm-hmm. back in the day when TVs were first starting to, you know, become HD or go to widescreen, and you had a good sound system and you put the movie like that on, it was much more of like an impact kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas nowadays everybody has HD TVs, you know. Like I said, as far as production values go in movies, they're getting better and better all the time because it's cheaper and cheaper to make those special effects. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day, like movies like The Matrix, Jurassic Park, etc., it was like such a monumental achievement to get special effects like that, that you're like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like, I think you don't see that as much anymore. I'm with you. I used to do that too. I used to have, like, you know, The Matrix, Jurassic Park, mm-hmm. Jurassic Park mostly, as far as you want to show off your sound system, because there's just so many classic yeah. moments in that movie, sound wise, you know, sound production wise,
yeah.
as far just, you know, as opposed to the visual shit. But yeah, like I said, it's like, it's just kind of like it's lost its luster. So no, I haven't done anything like that for a long time, because yeah. the average person, you got to try to do something like that, they're like, oh wow, you have a surround sound system, you know? Cause you know, also back in the day, they used to be a lot more expensive. So having yeah. one in the first place was a much bigger deal.
I remember when I got my first surround sound, I was like, yeah, every time I'd like, talk about it, I'd have to say Dolby Digital 5.1 surround sound system. I couldn't just say, oh, I got a surround sound system. I'd have to like do the full name of it, like the prestige of having Dolby Digital 5.1
THX.
Like, yeah. And I remember I had just gotten like a 37-inch tube TV, which was like the biggest TV I had ever owned. And it was like, before growing up, I had like a little 13-inch black and white TV with a little VHF and UHF knobs on it. So that was like a huge upgrade for me. That was when I first started working at the theater and stuff. And yeah, I was like so proud of that. I'm like, yeah, man, 5.1 Dolby Digital surround sound. Now it's like, I don't even care. Like a lot of the times, I mean, I think part of it as well, like, everybody owns so many DVDs, and with like Netflix, not only like DVDs in the mail or Redbox, like, or just instant streaming, or, you know, iTunes, like there's so many different ways to get movies. It's so easy now that it's not like, you know, your library is so infinite now, it seems like, as opposed to back then where it's, you know, you'd have to buy pretty much all, because there wasn't even like a huge selection at Blockbuster at first. It took a while for them to like migrate to DVDs. You know, I think part of that has to do with why, I don't know. I think if I had to guess anyway, that doesn't happen as often now. I don't think people have like their standby. Like fucking, there was one summer we watched Anchorman like, I don't know how many fucking times. Like we went to the theater and watched that like maybe 4 times.
I think like, yeah, 3 or 4 times.
I remember getting a bootleg of the movie while it was still in theaters. That way we just didn't have to go to theaters, and we'd watch it like every fucking night we'd put that movie on. And you know, and then when the DVD came out, of course, watch that and all the special features and shit. It's like, I watched that movie to shit, man. That and like Elf and, I think there was one other one we'd put on all the time, but that was after I moved out here and I was hanging out with you and Jared and everybody.
Yeah. Back at the old apartment by the trolley station.
Or yeah.
Out by the trolley. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking, 3rd of July. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
When,
Jesus Christ,
you, yeah. Jared and, Richard, three of our friends, we all used to work together, and, they all came over. I'd gotten a bottle of something or beer, and like Jared brought stuff over. And on 3rd of July, I just remember this because the next day we were up that night. We were up to like the sun was coming up.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. And then Jared left to go to the beach because there's always like a huge 4th of July thing at the beach in San Diego. So 3rd of July, I don't remember what fucking year it was, like 02 or 03 or some, it was probably 03. Yeah, we stayed up, watched, I remember we watched, Batter Santa, put that on.
We were watching some like Bruce Lee shit too for a while. That was crazy. Like we were watching like the Chinese Connection or something like that. Yeah, like dude, that I was... remember like it was something like that.
Yeah.
But we're going through a bunch of different
stuff. So fucking wasted that night. And my roommate at the time, Ricardo, he was pissed, man. I don't think he had to work the next day. I just think he had like stomach problems, but cause we were all hanging out in the living room and he was in his room and we're fucking drunk and loud and watching movies. And Jared's like beating you up with this 30-pound pillow that I had at the time.
Yeah. And it's fucking, like the sun's coming up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck, man? It's almost morning. I'm trying to sleep. Like, oh man. Like we don't even know. And there's like videos that we took and like, you can see throughout the night, like you can see the sun starting to come through. It's so fucking crazy, man. I can't do that shit anymore.
I can do that like once, but then like the whole next day and like, the day after I'm like fucking weird. Like I can't recover. I can't do that multiple nights in a row. That's for sure.
Yeah. I can't, it takes like, I pulling an all nighter. I mean, the closest I get to that is like, if I can't sleep. If I'm having trouble sleeping, but even those times you're still laying in bed and you do get a few minutes here and there of dozing off as opposed to like pulling an all nighter where you're drinking all night, or, you know, partying or whatever. I can't do that shit, man. Like I get tired. Like it always takes me like days to recover. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Like, man, if I don't get enough sleep, I'm almost useless, like, the next day. It's horrible.
Yeah, I just went to a bachelor party a couple days ago with me and a bunch of my friends. We took a bus around to different San Diego breweries.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist. We went to Ballast Point, Lost Abbey. We went to Port. Where else did we go? Did I say Ballast? Yeah, I did. We went to four places total, basically.
Did you go to Red Trolley? Is that Red Trolley or Carl Strauss?
Carl Strauss? No, okay. It was just mostly the more local kind of like breweries up in North County.
Yeah. Isn't Stone up there? Did you go
Stone's up there also. Yeah. But Stone, as far as to my friends and I mean, Stone is delicious. Don't get me wrong. There's varieties of Stone IPA that I still like.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that's out there now in San Diego, man. There's about 7 or 8 breweries that are around here now. That just popped up in the past, like, you know, 3-4 years that are all so much better than Stone, to be honest, my opinion, anyway.
I was never a fan of Stone.
Yeah, I mean, IPA in general, because that's what Stone to begin with, was the Arrogant Bastard. The IPA, that style of beer in general here in San Diego has just, like, blown the fuck up in the past, like, 3-4 years. It's awesome to kind of see all these different people doing it and doing it well. Like, Iron Fist is one of them, actually. You got to meet the owners when you were up there. They're from Poland, actually. Okay. Start this brewery up in North County, up in Vista is where it's at. And they got all kinds of delicious shit. Anybody out there listening, I recommend Iron Fist for sure.
Sweet.
We also went to Ballast Point, another awesome SD local beer.
Yeah, I like their shit.
Ballast Point makes probably my favorite beer of all time until I have some better. Who knows what may happen. But Ballast Point makes a beer called, I think I told you about them before, Victory at Sea.
Was that the, what kind of beer is that? I think you did tell me about that. Isn't it a porter?
It's classified as vanilla coffee imperial porter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You told me about that because I totally forgot. Because what was it called again? Let me write that down.
It's called Victory at Sea by Ballast Point.
All right. Because my girl loves porters, and I.
Oh, dude! If she does, she will guaranteed she will love.
And that it's a coffee porter because she loves the coffee. The Kona coffee. Kona comes out with like a special. Dude. Kona Coffee Edition, like it's a seasonal beer. She loves
it's
that.
That's so like fucking good, dude. It tastes like if you mixed like a delicious porter beer with like hints of vanilla and coffee in it. It tastes just like it's described, basically.
Nice
vanilla coffee imperial sweet. Porter. It tastes she'll love just it. Like that.
I had to get that some of that for her.
It's so good, and it's actually for how delicious it is. It's pretty strong too. It's like I think 11%.
Cool.
12% ABV. So. Yeah. But yeah, Bell's Point's another one. You got Alesmith. That's another place you went to on our tour the other day. Mm-hmm. Alesmith Brewery, which is out of Miramar. You got Alpine Beer Company, which is not far east of you, actually.
In Alpine.
In Alpine. Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. good naming strategy.
But yeah, man. Awesome.
Yeah, I saw.
They all do shit better than Stone, in my opinion. All those breweries do better beer than Stone does. No offense to Stone, but
yeah,
you know, your game's being stepped on right now by all these other local breweries. You have to, you know, step up, Stone.
Competition's good, you know. And who knows? Sometimes, a lot of times, actually, companies, the bigger they grow, the more they try to standardize and simplify things, and the less quality gets produced. I mean, you see that with, like, a lot of the times with electronics companies or, you know, restaurants, you know, all kinds of different things. Like, as they grow, then they start losing the ability to, like, creatively come up with amazing things, you know. In most cases, not all cases, but that's awesome. Yeah, I saw some of your pictures that you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. We were going with this whole like prison break theme.
Yeah, yeah, I saw everybody's wearing their prison oranges and stuff.
Yeah, and the what's it? The groom, right? That's, yeah. I'm so retarded right now.
The dude getting married.
The groom, the dude who's the dude in the marriage. Yeah,
the dude part.
Yeah. What was I saying? No,
unless it's a gay marriage, then that doesn't really narrow it down at all. But anyway, the groom.
Yeah, he was in full-on County Blues, basically, like, you know, the full-on jumpsuit, orange, and it's like way more dull than the rest of us, so he totally stood out.
Nice.
Versus all of us. It was cool. It was classic shit. We rented this bus, too, that, like, Corey said that he got a decent deal on this bus, and we all went for it, you know, because it was a really good deal.
It was like a party bus?
It was this big old, like, yeah, I guess the bus for, like, 30 people broke down. That's the one we ordered.
Uh-huh.
Was the 30-person bus. That one broke down, so they gave us a 50-person bus.
Uh-huh.
It was, like, a full-on bus, basically.
So it's like, regular seating-wise, bus seating?
Oh, not that. The seats were kind of angled along the walls, so it wasn't, like, a typical bus as far as how you would sit down inside of it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's more like a limo as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But, still, it was like, it looked like a fucking county bus coming to pick us up to go take us out of the side of the freeway so we can do community service.
That's
it looked
awesome.
Like, just like that, dude. It
that's was cool. Yeah, I saw the ridiculous picture of you guys walking on with your cases of beer and shit.
Yeah, there's so a cool. There's a couple sunroofs that are inside the bus that were just opened up. Like, it was pretty ghetto, basically, this bus in general. I mean, it did the job. It got us from point A to point B. We're all a bunch of dudes. We can give a shit, you know, so we're not going to really be picky about it. But it was pretty ghetto, I got to say. It would be embarrassing if we did have, like, ladies on board or something, because it was kind of, like, a little dingy. Yeah. I forgot what the company we rented the bus from was called, but I won't throw them under the bus right now.
Oh, yeah. But, jokes. Yeah. We're having jokes here, people.
Fuck yeah. Who says this show ain't funny?
Yeah.
But, anyways, yeah, so there are sunroofs in this bus that you could just basically, because there's nothing there, there's no glass there, put your head through and, like, look up out of the bus. So we were all doing that in the freeway and shit, all drunk. It was fucking hilarious. I actually stuck my head up as we were coming back on the freeway at night, and my sunglasses ripped off of my shirt and flew off.
So
my sunglasses, but overall, it was a good time, man. And yeah, props to SD for their selection of beer. It's getting outrageous, and I'm loving every second of it being a beer fan.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't drink as much beer as I used to.
You need to get out there and experience this shit, man. I'm telling you, you know, you know about me going to Hoffers all the time. You need to come out to Hoffers.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like, I don't know. Shit. I just don't go to bars either. I don't know. For a long time, I didn't have any extra money, you know? And then until I got a roommate, and then now I do, but I'm like, you know, I got a lot of stuff working on, or just, you know, I don't know. I do need to, but who knows?
There's a new world out there. That's all I got to say.
I know, but I'm lazy. I'm a lazy drinker. Like, if I feel like drinking, like, just give me some whiskey and soda and I'm good.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, whiskey on the rocks is cool too.
I actually need to start doing that more myself, because the beer I'm drinking, I mean, that's the only bad, the negative thing to the IPAs and the heavier beers is that they get you heavier. So
yeah, that's one of the big reasons why I started too. One of the big reasons. See, all these puns. This is a punful episode, I think. Although throwing it under the bus. Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. But I do, every once in a while, I do have the craving for a beer. Although I usually just go, I just get cheap shit, you know. I'll get like a case of Pabst or fucking a 40 of Mickey's or something like that, you know, because I just want the taste of beer.
There's nothing wrong with keeping it old school. I like that too.
Yeah. And plus, like,
for a while,
like not drinking beer regularly, I find when I do drink, the better beers that have a lot more flavor. It's just, it's like almost too much, you know? But like, I can't drink, like, it just, it's like too thick or something. I don't know. Yeah,
they do take a while to get used to. I wasn't an IPA fan at all until, like, I just started sitting down and trying different varieties of them over at, like, places like Hoffer's and,
you know,
spots like that that have a decent amount of them, and just kind of, like, seeing what I liked, because there's some shit out there that I drinking out, and it's like, that's too much. I mean, I can't drink anything now.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of, like, sweet drinks. Like, I drink, when I do drink, like, whiskey and soda, I just like diet soda. But, like, anytime, like, when I'm in Vegas or something like that, I'm getting the smoothie drinks and stuff. The sugary drinks, I can only have so much, and then it's, like, I get OD'd on sugar. Like, it's just, my mouth feels like it's coated in syrup. I just can't take it anymore. So, yeah, I don't know. Just can't do it. Maybe that's just another one of those things. It's really funny. I talked about it a little bit on previous episode. I watched a lot of episodes of How I Met Your Mother. There's one episode where it's a sitcom. The show's a sitcom for anybody that doesn't know. It's a funny show. But anyway, there's an episode where they find their Murtaugh list. And it's if you're a fan or if you've seen Lethal Weapon, Murtaugh was the black guy, the older black guy. And he had the catchphrase, "I'm getting too old for this shit." So they had in the show, they had their Murtaugh list, and it was all this different stuff that they were just too old to do. Like how we were talking, you know, can't pull an all nighter and shit like that. So I've been using that, like, just shit that I used to do that I just can't do anymore. I just can't handle for whatever reason. Like drinking sugary drinks. I just can't do a lot of that shit anymore. So it's on my Murtaugh list. So I started saying that when I got it from that show. Just thought I'd throw that in there as a small
tangent. I like
tangent.
That. I'll have to remember that shit.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny episode, too, because it's like one of the guys is like, who has the list, is like, you know, it's just he added something else to the list. And then another guy who's like Barney, who's played by Doogie Howser, he's like Mr. Party Guy, hooks up with all the chicks. And he's like, fuck that, man. I'm going to do everything on your list. And you're going to do everything that, like, an old person would do. And then we'll see who taps out first or whatever. So it's a pretty funny episode. But, yeah. So this is where we devolve from talking about movies, by the way. We started talking about movies that we like. But that's okay, because that's what I love about the show. That we can just talk about anything and go with the flow, you know? So, yeah, we've talked about music a lot, but what in general, like right now, I mean, we've talked in the past about how the different types of music that we've listened to throughout our lives, because it does change, you know, we kind of get into, you know, different things here and there. But in general, like when you're going to listen to music, like you're in your car and you want to throw something on, or you're going to pick something on. Do you listen to Pandora, by the way, or do you still listen to like CDs?
I got Pandora going. I do have a USB hookup now in my truck, so I can rock the Pandora if necessary. I also have a USB flash drive. I usually just load with music. So usually, most of the time I just do that, because I usually will carry like an 8 gig flash drive just loaded with albums, and just, you know, throw that in and pick and choose from there. Put it on shuffle, for example.
So you're listening to your music most of the time.
Okay. Most of the time, it's just like, yeah, like I said, it's like a flash drive that's just preloaded with a bunch of stuff. So, Pandora every once in a while, though. I'll rock Pandora.
Well, so let's start with what you listen to, your stuff. If you throw on your name some bands that are on rotation in your stuff that you listen to, like right now.
Gosh.
I mean, not to throw you on the spot, but just like, you know, whatever.
Well, just for a background on what I do usually listen to, it's a broad range, basically. I love everything from, you know, bands like, just to name a familiar one to people, like Cannibal Corpse and that kind of shit, to like Crystal Castles and bands like that. You know, I got a broad range, I should say. There isn't really a genre of music I really scrutinize too much. I mean, there's some country that I just really can't stand just because I just don't relate to that music at all, really. I mean, but a lot of the classic country I love, like, you know, Johnny Cash, et cetera, Garth Brooks, some of his stuff, you know, going back to the classics, you know, of course. But as far as right now, what's in my rotation, you know, I do love, I would say if I was to name one type of music that was, probably was my favorite, just going by volume of that genre, it would probably be metal, you know.
And do you literally listen to that at a higher volume too?
I literally do. Yes, I do. Cool. I crank the shit.
Double meaning there, people. Bro. Volume.
You know, it's let's keep it rolling. Fuck let's yeah. keep it rolling.
Fuck yeah.
but yeah, like as far as metal goes too, I mean, metal's such a hard genre to kind of lump into one term because there's so many different varieties of it. You know, it's they you know, as there's, I'll just go by ones that are well known. There's death metal. There's, you know, black metal. There's thrash metal, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really pay attention to that crap. If it sounds good, I'll listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes with all kinds of music, not just metal. But as far as metal goes in general, you know, narrowing that section of it down, it's whatever that way too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bands like Sepultura, going back to the old school shit. I like Meshuggah. They're coming out the new album here pretty soon, which Meshuggah, you should check out, right? Meshuggah deals with polyrhythmic patterns in their drum beats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're listening to a typical drum beat, it's like a 4-4 pattern, basically. Okay. Is what it's called, to where it's like even numbers of notes, you know, so you can kind of like guess what's about to happen. You can kind of guess where the bridge is, guess where the chorus is.
Okay.
You know, these guys play in like polyrhythmic kind of syncopatic notes. So it's like 1-3-3-5. It's really weird. But when you're hearing it, it kind of like all comes together and still like makes sense. It's just like a weird way they kind of put the beats together. It's
cool.
It's hard to explain, but they're one of my favorites. They have a new album coming out real soon. I'm trying to think. There's a band from Switzerland I'm listening to right now called Luviete or Eluvete.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of hard to pronounce. It's Eluvietie. They're from Switzerland, and they incorporate all kinds of stuff into their sound. It's like folk metal, thrash metal, black metal. Like, it's everything. And the folk stuff that they do is really cool too, because they actually have people in the band playing like the flute.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I have going on right now. I mean, I like some of the hip hop tits out there too. Some of the underground hip hop I love also, like POS. So I know you're a fan of them as well. You know, Atmosphere, those kind of guys. So I branch out into that stuff too. I like a lot of the older hip hop also. Like, I like Outkast, a lot of their older shit.
Mm-hmm.
I like, of course, like Dre and Snoop going back to the day.
Bone Thugs,
of course, you know, all that shit too. I mean, it's such a broad range, man. It's so hard for me to kind of talk about it and get away talking about it for more than, you know, not more than like an hour, you know,
because it's
so much shit.
It's diverse.
So much shit. But diverse, yeah, metal, I would say is my number one genre. And I listen to all the different subgenres of metal as well. I grew up playing bass.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, like, I started off liking, you know, more kind of like reggae, kind of like ska kind of sounds when I first started getting into music.
Yeah.
And it kind of just branched from there. Like, I wanted to hear like something crazier and more technical and faster. And like, my desire to kind of hear the next level or the next stage of that evolution led me to metal, you know? Yeah. And once I discovered the different subgenres, it's like, I've kind of hit that wall basically. But I had to get to that point for some reason. I don't know why. It's like, I needed like the technicality, needed the speed and et cetera, et cetera. And that's why I love that genre so much. But, you know, like I said earlier, I still love everything else.
Yeah.
Mumford and Sons, I like that kind of shit too. You know, I'm just going through my iTunes playlist right now. I have so much shit in here.
Yeah.
Kid Cudi, you know, I'm trying to, let me see, I'm just reading up the list here. Holy shit. I'm going forever.
Well, yeah, that's cool.
So I named off some good bands.
Yeah. So you don't use Pandora all that much?
Every once in a while, not usually. I do have a Pandora account, obviously, and I do have some stations lined up. But most of the time, I'll just, you know, grab my flash drive and throw that in my my stereo in my truck and just press shuffle and see what happens. So
yeah, I listen to Pandora a lot. I know I kind of go through phases. Like, I'll listen to Pandora sometimes just to discover new music or just to listen to a bunch of stuff that I like. Like, I listen to 90s alternative a lot, like 90s alternative / grunge, they call it. But with Pandora, it's not just all that kind of stuff, especially once you start customizing the station. But I'll throw that on because it's just a lot of music that I love, but don't necessarily own all those albums and don't really have a desire, you know, because I just like the popular music from that, or, you know, the popular music in that genre for that time. Or if I want to just discover new music, I'll put something on. So I'm listening to that a lot. But I go through phases, man. Like, I was in a what is it, underground hip hop or whatever, you know, whatever, you know, or independent hip hop, like atmosphere and all the whole everybody under the Rhymesayers label, atmosphere, POS, Brother Ali, all those guys, Grayskull, like, I don't know. There's very few of those bands that are groups or guys, whatever you want to call them, that I don't like under that label. They tend to get really good artists. And a lot of them start out doing like the freestyle stuff, like the, you know, the battle, the whatever the fuck they call it, the 8 Mile style battle. I was really into all that stuff for a long time. Idea. I remember watching while I was working at Blockbuster, one of the supervisors who was younger than me, he was like 17 or some shit, I don't know, but he was my boss. It was really weird. He brought in, cause, I closed all the time at Blockbuster, and it was just basically me and him, most nights. And he brought in Blaze Battle, which was like this, you know, rap battle that was on HBO or something like that. And he had recorded it, and, Idea was on it. And I think he actually won that. And it was like a tournament style, battle, which was really cool. It was like the first time I had ever seen anything like that. It was way before 8 Mile came out, and, Idea had won it. And then like fucking 10 years later, I see that he's on this, you know, the Rhymesayers label, and I downloaded his shit. And I was listening to that stuff a lot, like, you know, few years ago, and you know, I got the stereo in my truck, and I was used to be like really into all that stuff. Now it's like I don't really turn my music up that loud unless it's something that, you know, I want to blast, you know, like hip-hop's really good to play loud. My favorite band of all time and will always be the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they're still, you know, doing good. They've evolved just like my music taste has evolved over the years. They've musically evolved, and their style has changed a lot over the years, but there is nothing that they have done that I don't like. I mean, I love all their shit. I can listen to their old stuff, which is more like punk hip hop type stuff, or their new stuff, which, you know, is a lot more, you know, slower, like ballad type songs. But they've got a style that, you know, I just grew up listening to. I've listened to them, you know, my whole life. And, you know, that's one band that I'll never give up on. And it's, I'm glad over the years, I've been scared that they're going to break up. You know, it's, if you become a fan of like a huge fan of a band or something like that, I think a big fear is like that they're going to break up, and never get to hear new music from them, or somebody's going to die. You know, that's always a shitty thing, like Sublime or, Nirvana. But, you know, I read the Anthony Kiedis autobiography, Scar Tissue, I think it was titled. And, you know, they've definitely had their brushes with death, and they've changed, like John Frusciante's left and come back and left again. And they've, you know, musically changed. I think probably, you know, they're getting older, and also just getting new guitarists in here and there, has kind of changed their, expanded their style. But I love it, man. I'm super stoked to go see them. I was supposed to go see them, this month, actually, probably like right around, you know, like a week ago or something like that. But they postponed it till September, I think. So I gotta wait, but I love them. I've seen them like 4 times or some shit live, and it's always a good show. And they always come out with, I love all the shit they come out with, but, you know, and that's kind of, the 90s was a big decade for them. So, you know, I think that kind of fits into my wheelhouse, but, you know, I was big in high school, I was big into ska and punk and all that kind of stuff. And I still visit that. Like there's a couple, like I have a NoFX station on Pandora, and I have like a Real Big Fish station on Pandora, or a Sublime station. That kind of gives me the mix to, if I feel nostalgic or want to listen to some of that old stuff, I will. And, or just, you know, there's always sometimes when you're in the mood just to listen to some good punk music, you know?
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. I find myself listening to punk actually now, mm-hmm. a lot more than I remember listening to it back in the day, like back when I was in high school and shit, just because like punk is becoming like more and more relevant, in my opinion, like all the time, especially the punk bands that are still around doing it, you know. Two of my favorite bands of all time are Bad Religion and NOFX, by far. Yeah. I mean, those are the two bands that, like, Pennywise as well. Pennywise gets lumped in there too, although Pennywise got rid of their lead vocalist, Jim, recently, Jim Lindbergh. So it's hard to say what they're going to sound like now, you know, if the new vocalist is going to just kind of copy his style or whatever, because that guy's in the band for, you know, 20 years. So it's Pennywise is kind of up in the air right now for me, but Bad Religion and NOFX. And it doesn't matter what's evolving musically beyond that point, as far as technicality, like I mentioned earlier, and extreme and extremeness, all that shit. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm still gonna fucking put on my NOFX albums and my Bad Religion albums all the fucking time, because I love that shit.
Yeah.
Bad Religion especially, Greg Graffin, the whole band. So talented, so relevant. Their music just continues to keep getting better, faster, more, you know, perfectly executed than it ever was before. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're getting better with time, and so is NOFX, in my opinion. That's just crazy. Those bands are both like 20, 25 years plus old. Yeah. Actually, Bad Religion is 30 years old now. Bad Religion is like 31, 32 years old now.
Yeah.
And they still sound just as fresh and, you know, relevant as they did back in the early 80s. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned this on a previous episode, like fairly recently, that we went to the 25 year reunion tour that NOFX put on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they fucking, I mean, they did a lot of their, you know, their big hits. I mean, they have so fucking many. I mean, that's one thing with NOFX. I don't think they've ever been, I think they take pride. I could be wrong, because I think I have heard one of their songs on the radio, but for a long time they were like, I don't think they've ever had a music video or something like that, or never been on the radio, or they don't like to be on the radio. I don't know. I thought at least at one point that that's kind of their deal, but. Yeah, they still play their old shit, like, just as hard as they did back in the day, man, and they sound amazing. I'm not, like, their newest albums, like, before, like, White Trash, Two Heaps and a Bean, Ribbed, all that stuff, S&M Airlines, like, I don't know if it's just because I also grew up listening to those albums over and over again, but, like, I love those start to finish. Like, there's nothing in there that I can really skip over. And I think War on Errorism was probably one of my last album, one of their last albums that I could say that. But some of their newest ones, like Coaster or something like that, I think there was a few songs on that I was a little over. But, you know, that could also just be I was listening to it. Because there's sometimes, like, I'm just not in the mood or not in the space to listen to certain music. So it just won't click. The same way as if I was actually in that kind of mood or space. But yeah, I go back to those older bands and stuff, like Rage Against the Machine. I was just listening to them the other day. It's definitely, that stuff's really good to listen to in the morning. Like when you're getting ready for work, if you have to wake up early, like in addition to caffeine, listening to like ska or punk or, you know, like Rage Against the Machine types, like any like 90s alternative type music, definitely, at least for me, wakes me up.
It's like, you gotta take that next step like I did and start listening to blast beats in the morning. That should help out too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. That might be too much for me. I might start having seizures. But, you know, but I listen to old stuff. Like I love Ray Charles. I love, you know, like George Thorogood. I love fucking, Bill Withers, like there's, and like classic rock, like Pink Floyd and all that kind of stuff.
Fuck yeah.
Queen. I love all that old stuff, but I rarely listen to like classic rock. I don't know. I just rarely like throw that on. What is it? It was just something I was, Diane Wood. Have you heard any of their stuff?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. They're fucking crazy. They just came out with a new album. Shit. Yeah. They just came out with a new album, and their beats in this new album kind of have a very like dubstep sound to it. Uh-huh. I've noticed, not that I'm like really the authority on dubstep, but it kind of seems, or like maybe like club beats in general. So it's not like your typical like hip hop or rap beats. But for people that haven't heard them, they're like this South African rap group that is just like, it's kind of hard to understand them sometimes, but it's like fucking insane. And you got to watch their videos. I think like listening to their music is one thing, but they're like, they just did an art installment up in San Francisco, some gallery in San Francisco. So they're like legit artists as well. And I think they're like, their videos are super artistic as, you know, in addition to like their crazy music. So I think their videos complement their music really well, which is really cool. But let's see, so that new album I've been listening to kind of off and on, just because sometimes they're a little bit too much to take. And I just fucking added, I've been having so many issues with my iTunes library, just switching over hard drives and shit. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know. Oh, there is like one random thing. I don't know how I found it. It's Stromae. It's this French. I'll play one of his songs. Let me find it. But he's like a French, it's like hip hop, and it's kind of like club beats again. Not nearly the same style as Diant would, but where is he at?
That's where it's all going nowadays, man. If you look at any, you know, the most not relevant, I should say, but the most popular hip hop songs that are out there nowadays are all like house songs, basically, with hip hop over it.
A lot of that shit is like all hook and no, like, there's no chorus.
Exactly. There's no actual like rhyming going on.
But these, like Diant Wood and this, there's actually, it's like rap, you know, hip hop, but they, instead of using typical hip hop beats, they're using more dance beats. So it's still, you're still getting like a full song. It's not like you're getting, although I don't fucking understand it because it's in French. But let me play some of, let's see, where the fuck is it? Oh, there it is. So this is Stromae. It's Stromae. The album is Cheese, and this song is Peace or Violence. But which you can understand peace and violence in the song, but everything else is in French. But it's fucking awesome. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's weird. It's the first time I've listened to music where they're speaking a different language, which I'm sure there's bands that, especially being into a lot of the heavy metal, because a lot of heavy metal comes out of like Europe area,
mostly like Western Europe. But yeah, I'm no stranger to bands singing in different languages, so I won't be tripped out at all. Yeah, play this shit. Peace or violence. J'ai vu des gens tendre les bras et leurs deux doigts levés. Leur majeur et leur index toujours en forme de V. J'ai donc demandé ce que ce symbole pouvait signifier. Okay. Et bien personne ou grand personne n'a pu me l'expliquer. Serait-ce un signe de paix ou bien levé de violence? Quelqu'un sait ce qu'il avance ou ce qu'il fait. Qu'est-ce que j'en sais moi? Qu'est-ce que j'en sais moi? Serait-ce un signe de paix? Bien levé de violence, quelqu'un sait ce qu'il avance ou ce qu'il fait. Serait-ce un signe de paix ou bien levé de violence, quelqu'un sait ce qu'il avance ou ce qu'il fait.
That's, I don't want to play the whole song. So.
Man, I was fist pumping right then, man. Why don't you stop?
Yeah. But it's like, he's got like super silky, that French accent, man. There was a point in my life where I knew some French, like back in like, because I went to a Montessori school where they like crazy teaching strategies, and I had like French, like I actually learned some French back then. But I don't remember any of that shit. I wish I did though. This is a sexy fucking language.
Yeah, I've always been tripped out by the German language, mostly because, I don't know, I started off listening to Rammstein a long time ago, back when they first got popular after the, you know, the Du Hast song came out.
Yeah.
That's when I discovered them, but I've been a fan of them ever since then, basically. And there's just something about that guy's voice, how he speaks German, is just like the main reason why. He's just like, like, he's just like super baritone, like fucking to the ninth degree, fucking crazy shit. But there's something about that language, though. I don't know, I just like the way it sounds.
I don't know, I never I never really got into the German stuff. I mean, everybody was into Du Hast when it came out, but I never really got into that kind of music. I don't know.
That band totally evolved though from that point. Like, people wrote them off after Du Hast, like, oh, that's all they've been doing or whatever. But no, that band has actually morphed into something pretty crazy over the years.
That's cool.
And we're checking out, most definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I don't know. I actually have two of their albums, but I have so many albums that I just don't listen to most of that shit. But yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so music and movies and all that shit. Pretty in depth.
It's what we do.
Pretty in depth. Yeah, if anybody listening to this, you know, has a question for us, shoot it over to Twitter, man. And if we're able to, we'll get it on the show. You know, we don't really have anything particular to discuss in this episode. But so it's always good to have ideas of shit to talk about. We are going to start getting guests on the show. I've talked to like a bunch of people.
Postal Poet still down or?
Yeah, actually going to try and get him on within the next week. So I'll let you know when, and, so we can try and work out a time where we can all get together, or if not, I'll just record one with him and then maybe do, I mean, if it, you know, maybe get him on more than once, you know, especially if, you know, if it's good conversation and stuff, which I don't see why it wouldn't be. Well, I don't really know the guy. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, some people get nervous talking, you know, just having a conversation when they know other people are listening kind of thing, you know, stage fright type of thing.
Yeah.
But whatever, we'll see how it goes. I'm you know, super stoked to talk to him, you know, and just find out about one of our listeners, you know. But I've been doing a lot of album artwork for, well, not a lot of album artwork. I've been working on album artwork for Randy Mona. Cause he did a new album and he wanted me to do the album artwork for it. And I've been working on it the past week. So probably when I get that done, I'll get him on and, talk to Jill a little bit up in San Francisco. She's been busy moving and she just started working for this new PR company up there where they had this huge event with like art and music and like fashion show and like body painting and like this huge thing, and like 600 plus people showed up too. So she's been super busy with that. But I talked to her. So hopefully, she said, possibly next week. So I'm gonna start bugging her next week to see if I can get her on. And then after South by Southwest, there's a guy, Rory Reef, that him and his company, or him and he's part of designing this new website called atfight.me, which isn't out yet, but they're going to debut it at South by Southwest. And I don't really know exactly what the premise for the website is, but I think it's like where you can battle your friends on certain topics. I don't know. But we'll get him on the show to talk about that, and just it'd be cool to talk to the guy because I first found out about him or started talking to him probably about a year ago or more. He was working on a project that is very similar to what Oink is, the Oink app on iPhones that Kevin Rose came out with, where you like, you know, recommend stuff or rate stuff that you like. The site he was working on, or the app or whatever that he was working on with a group of his people, was a Recommend. And it was basically a site where you just recommend things to people. So it's very similar to like what Oink ended up being. But that he had a Kickstarter account or Indiegogo, I think it was. One of those crowdsource funding things. And I had put some money towards that because I thought it was a cool idea. And we kind of kept in touch since then. And I know he's been working on this for a while now. So I messaged him on Facebook or Twitter or something like that, and asked him if he'd want to come on the podcast after he debuts the thing on at South by Southwest. So get him on.
Right on, man.
That's next month or something like that. And then also there's some other people. Like this guy I work with, Carlos. You know him, little Carlos.
Yeah.
Get him on. I talked to him to come on just because I talked to him a lot about sports, like MMA and stuff like that at work. So I figured it'd be cool to get him on because he's really knowledgeable about like all the different sports. So I think we can get some cool like sports, you know, add some sports to the show a little bit. I don't know when I'll have him on, but I talked to him about it and he seems down to come on. So it's starting to get a lot of people like lined up. So it's not just you and me talking, kind of make it a little more diverse as far as what we talk about and stuff.
That'd be so cool, man.
And I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you'd want to get your sister on.
Oh yeah, okay. I could try. Actually, as far as the 3-2-1 stereo thing goes, maybe I shouldn't be announcing this right now, but I'll just keep that hush hush for the time being.
Okay,
but yeah, I'll do my best to get her on for okay. sure.
Yeah, I mean if she's busy working on whatever, but at some point, you know, whatever, throw it. I mean it's 2 hours talk or however long she wants to record. I was thinking about getting a phone number set up for, because we record over Skype. I was thinking about getting a phone number set up for the Skype account so we can just either take callers or just like to get somebody on, they can just call in so they don't have to have, you know, microphone and headphones and all that shit set up. I don't know. I was thinking about it. But, you know, I don't want to spend too much on this because I don't have a whole lot of money to spend unless people start shopping at Onnit using coupon code or buying my shit. You know, or donating. You can always donate. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I like fucking this last week, you had crazy allergies. And then like the day after I think we recorded, I like the worst allergies ever, where I actually had to call in sick the next day. And
oh, shit.
It was horrible, man. Like I felt like crap. My head felt like it was going to explode. I couldn't. Like it's shitty, but it was gone in like 2 days. But while I was like pretty much just chilling out, resting, there's a show on Netflix, which I watch a lot of the survival shows and stuff like that, the reality survival shows and everything. And there was this one show called Medicine Men Go Wild. It's a Discovery Channel show. But it's basically these two twin brothers that are both doctors in the UK. Or England or wherever. And they go to different places. There's like 4 episodes. One, they go into the Congo, to like just see what the native, like medicines are and stuff like that. And then they go into, there's one where they talk about pain. They go to like the in Tibet. And stuff, and all the people that can't think of the fucking names of the Sherpas and stuff like that. They basically don't even treat like pain. They have no pain management. They use mostly meditation, to like get rid of pain or ignore pain or to deal with pain. So they went there to try and understand how they deal with pain or if they're able to like get rid of pain in some way. Which was really interesting. But the last one, which I'm curious to know if Joe Rogan's watched this episode, because they go into the jungles of Peru to take like ayahuasca, to the different medicines. Like they go deep in the jungle, and there's this one shaman there who had hit. He's like this old like little bitty guy, but he had cut his foot with an axe, like he was chopping wood or something, and accidentally cut his foot. And they, like, when they first showed up, the shaman had asked them to take a look at his foot. I think it was more of like a sign of respect, or, you know, he was testing them to see, you know, test the waters with other doctors or whatever. But they were surprised at how, like, it was just this open wound out, and he's walking barefoot and out in the middle of the jungle and stuff. How there's, like, it looked grimy, but no signs of infection or anything like that. So they were really impressed with, you know, and they asked him what he used to treat his wound. And he's like, he just used this particular type of leaf to clean the wound or whatever. And it's, you know, they're like, wow, it's doing a good job. So they kind of go into, like, the different types of medicines. Like they get all their medicines and stuff from the plants that live around them. One of them is ayahuasca, which is the way they're able to do it is like the only way you're able to take DMT orally. Because when you take DMT, like if you were to eat something that has DMT in it, our digestive system breaks down that chemical, so it's not active. But they were able to combine the root, the ayahuasca root, with a particular type of leaf that had this inhibitor in it that allowed your body to absorb the DMT chemical into your system. So it's like the only way. And like they asked them how they knew to combine those two plants to have that effect. And they're like, this is just something that's been passed down from our ancestors. And it's just like just something that they, you know, I'm sure from just, you know, generations of trial and error, they came to find out that when you mix these two, or who knows how, that they were able to, you know, create this psychedelic drink, basically. And a lot of people go, like they were talking about at the beginning of the episode, a lot of people go there to purge their addictions. So like people that have like heroin addictions or other major addictions will go there, and the experience they have while taking ayahuasca kind of like alleviates them of their addictions to that substance. So they go there and they experience, like one of the brothers actually goes through and talks about it, and is really interesting, like to hear, you know, they're both doctors, and one of the brothers does it, the other one doesn't do it. And it's just really interesting how it totally changed his perspective on things, and totally changed the way, you know, the angle of thought or their perspectives that he had on thinking of different situations. A really awesome episode. But it's in general, the show is really cool. So
Medicine
if you have Netflix,
Men, you said?
Medicine Men Go Wild. It's
Medicine
on,
Men Go Wild. Okay.
Yeah, Netflix Watch Instant. It's also a Discovery Channel show. I don't know if it got canceled, and that's why there's only four episodes. And they're 43-minute episodes, so they're, you know, they're like mini documentaries, but really interesting. But the fourth episode, Jungle Trippin', is the one where they go into the jungle to take ayahuasca. But there's other things. I mean, it's not just about that. There's a lot of other things, like side stories and things like that, that are also going on. Like, because they, when they go into these different villages and stuff, they're also, if the people in those villages ask for their help, they'll like, you know, help them with the Western medicine that they have, or in any way that they're able to. So it's really interesting show. But yeah, I watched a lot of that, and totally recommend it. And it's, you know, it's interesting just to see like people that, you know, are, you know, quote unquote Western medicine or Westernly trained, you know, type of people, academic type people, you know, being able to accept that there may be something to these other holistic treatments or these other natural treatments to things. So it's, you know, super, super interesting. And it's, they seemed really open-minded. There's another one where they go to this like remote village in Alaska where they hunt seals and hunt whale to just survive, and just like the type of diet. And like these people have the lowest rate of people dying from like heart attack or heart related disease. And it's mainly because their diet consists of like sea mammals, like fish.
Also,
and
like fish, they're ingesting fish.
They don't
a lot.
Eat. They, yeah. Like they rarely eat any vegetables, and you know, they can get, you know, processed like canned foods and things that are processed foods. But most of their diet is just like meat and like, you know, fish, seal or whale. So it's really interesting. And they do like one of the brothers in that episode. Goes on a strictly like off the shelf, like processed food diet for a week, I think, or 10 days. And the other one goes with a traditional, like whatever that region's diet is, of just eating like, you know, whale blubber and like petrified seal or whatever, you know, whatever the traditional thing is. And they test their all their different levels of, like blood pressure and cholesterol and stuff like that, and then before and after. And it's really interesting, like what they come up with and what they weigh, you know, what they, you know,
are able to
the
discover.
The conclusion of the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. It's a cool show. So I'd watch that. But yeah, going back to the original, the Twitter question, like movies and stuff. It's like, I watch a lot of documentaries too. I love documentaries. I do have to be in the mood to watch documentaries. But I also like, you know, documentary shows. Like there's a lot of Discovery Channel shows that I love watching. Especially like those survival shows, man. It's really interesting just to see. There's one I was watching with my girlfriend last night, and I watched the first season. It's the first season was out of Alaska, and this one was out of, I think it's out of Alaska or out of Venezuela or something like that. Let's see. Out of the Wild is the name of the show. And the first season was in Alaska. The second season is Venezuela, but it's basically like a group of people that are like amateur, like outdoors type people. And they basically put them out in the middle of nowhere in the first season was Alaska. And they give them a map and a compass. And like there's, they give them basic supplies, but basically they have to live off the land and just try to survive. And it's not a like a game show where they win $1 million, whoever lasts the longest or anything like that. They don't get paid any money to do that. It's just, you know, or there's no prize at the end of it. But the only way out is they all have like a little GPS thing that they could push the button and a helicopter will pick them up to take them. And it's a pretty, I mean, which is nice that it's not like a competition type of thing, because then you don't get like the typical reality bullshit where they're like, you know, playing against each other and stuff like that. It's makes it more of just how do these strangers kind of cope with living and surviving with each other and trying to like hike to these different destinations for shelter. It's a really interesting show. But yeah, we watched probably like 4 or 5 of the episodes of the Venezuela season. It's pretty cool. That's on Watchlist also. But I love all those types of shows. Crazy. Yeah, yeah, both of them are cool. And it's just really interesting. I mean, that show is really interesting because it would really show you kind of, it shows you really how difficult it is to truly live off the land, especially in these places. I mean, Alaska and Venezuela, they're not like, you know, teeming. I mean, you know, they show really how difficult it is, you know, just every part of it, you know, shelter, fire, getting food. I'm sure if they had like a Bear Grylls on the show or like the other guy that did the Survivor Man, I'm sure if they were on the show, they would probably do way better. Cause these people seem to push it a little bit more than you think they should. Like trying to get to the next camp instead of just setting up camp, like they're hiking in pitch black through the forest. It's a cool show, but definitely something. I watch a lot of those shows recently.
So. For sure, man. I like those shows as well. It's going back to the medicine thing too. It kind of sucks that, you know, medicine or that kind of holistic kind of therapy on just, you know, natural organic ingredients isn't more kind of widely accepted. Mm-hmm. Because the main reason why it's not is because of money. I mean, it's the main reason why. It's like, you know, a lot of things are plants. You can pull a leaf off and then rub the leaf, like you're saying with the guy with his foot cut, you know. That kind of knowledge should be more widespread, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of what's stifling that is the pharmaceutical companies who have their drugs that make millions of dollars that they want us to take instead of trying a different method.
Yeah. You know? Well, what they do, like one example of this is valerian root tea, which you can buy at like any health food store or like just like kind of like a Sprouts or a Henry's or a Whole Foods type market. Or you can buy it on Amazon. It's a tea that you drink, and it's basically pharmaceuticals synthesize the active ingredient in that to make Valium. So when you drink the tea, it's similar to taking Valium. So people take it to help them sleep, to calm down, just to relax. You'll find valerian root in a lot of like natural supplements. I was going to the chiropractor a lot a year ago or so. And I was having a lot of, because my alignment was all off and shit, and he was trying to help correct my posture, I was having a lot of muscle pain, and he gave me this natural, basically muscle relaxer. And one of the ingredients was valerian root. There was some other things, but it was like all natural things that you can get to help your body, you know, relax, or help your muscles relax. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, if they can't synthesize it in a lab and, you know, patent it, then, you know, it's not going to be used by your doctor. I mean, there's the other side to it that, you know, like watching the Super Jaime documentary, even though it's, you know, kind of, it's not really a serious documentary. It's the one where Doug Benson stopped smoking weed for 30 days and then smokes weed continuously for 30 days. And he there's one part of that where he's talking to his doctor, and I think it was after the whole thing, and it's kind of a wrap up. And the doctor's saying, he's like, you know, before I became a doctor, you know, I used to partake in weed. And as a doctor, he doesn't feel that it should be like, there's nothing dangerous about it. To people, you don't, it doesn't harm you in any way. So he doesn't feel that it should be illegal. But you know, one of the things that he also said was, because it is a plant and because just the science of medicine is so specific, that as a doctor or as like a scientist, it's hard to know like what the concentration or the potency of a certain, like, one plant to another. You know, it's hard to like break that down and how to like prescribe that to a patient. You know, it's very more of a generalized, like if you were a patient, you know, that used marijuana, it would be very hard to recommend a particular dosage, you know, of how much you should take in whatever form you're taking it or however form you're taking it. So that's like the other side, like where there's, it's kind of hard to regulate it in that way as a medicinal thing, because it's hard to specify the strengths of certain things. But in general, it's like, fuck the pharmaceutical companies, you know, if there are people like the shamans in, you know, in wherever, you know, any of these indigenous people that have grown up for generation and generation know just instinctively how to use these different plants and how to regulate them. It's like, maybe we need to like involve
that.
Yeah. Involve that in the education of doctors. It's like, you know, the reason why they have to be so specific in like with numbers and like scientifically specific on dosages and all that stuff is because it alleviates the need to have years and years of experience using certain things. You know, where shamanistic type stuff, it's more of a feeling out process. It's very like go with the flow, like more natural process of, you know, being comfortable using these different things and what their effects are. You know, I think there should be more of a that there should be a part of medicine in our Western society that should focus more on, you know, trying to learn more, try to make our doctors more shaman like, you know, instead of just, you know, textbook, these numbers, these graphs, these, you know, so analytically like correct in every way. It's like they need to have that other, you know, more naturalistic approach as well, I think, at least, or at least there should be, that should be available as an option, you know?
Exactly. Cause that's not going to be the norm. It's never going to be the norm because of money and because of how, you know, greed is stifling that aspect of the industry. But yeah, there should at least be options of holistic practice doctors. I believe there are. I mean, I haven't really done the research, but I'm not sure how widely spread those doctors are, but, sounds familiar. I mean, just like holistic practice.
There are those
two words together sound really familiar. Like I've seen that up on a building somewhere or some shit.
And I actually heard. A building somewhere, some shit. That's almost like reading it on the internet somewhere. That's if you saw it somewhere, then it's true.
Somewhere around there being the world.
Well, like I go to the chiropractor, and there's a lot of doctors that say chiropractors are bullshit, and I would punch them in the face and say they're wrong because I get help by the chiropractor all the time. I think it's essential, you know, realigning your spine. If you're out of whack and you have bad posture or you're holding yourself in a certain way that's incorrect, I mean, that puts the wrong kind of pressure on your spine, which causes your muscles to fucking freak out. And that's where a lot of people have back pain and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, there's a reason why, you know, athletes go to chiropractors. You know, if it was bullshit, then they wouldn't be going. But a lot of people, there's, because of the chiropractor, he also, which I remember one of the times I was in there, he was talking to me and he asked me if I knew anybody that did massage, because he just had to let go one of his masseuse or masseurs or whatever the proper term is. And he was telling me how he had like one person that did acupuncture, and they would only sign the contract to work there on a certain day because the moon and the stars were in certain alignment. Like, you get some people that are kind of a little bit too far out there, which is kind of hard for a business. Like, he's trying to run, I mean, he has big clientele. Like, he works on professional athletes. He works on like the Charger girls. He's, you know, does a lot of stuff with the Chargers. So he has like really big clientele that he works on. So, you know, when you have that kind of business, you kind of need to have a little bit more of, you know, a regular business type schedule than, you know, some people that do like acupuncture or massage or, you know, people that are into like meditation, stuff like that. But, you know, it's like, there are a lot of places out there that do that stuff. And, you know, but, and I've also heard that, like, as far as the ayahuasca thing, there's, and which I heard on the internet, so it's a viable, reference. But that they have like churches, quote unquote churches, that are using ayahuasca for religious purposes. So they're able to still practice, you know, whatever religion they are. But they're able to use ayahuasca in their ceremonies. So they're protected under the church versus state type of deal. So there's like little loopholes where people can get around these laws to kind of practice, not only practice like traditional stuff, but, you know, also for other people to recreationally use that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, for me, you know, I've never done any of that stuff, but I wouldn't be against it just because it's more natural, you know, it's, you know, practiced by people, you know, it's not like a meth that was created by the Japanese so that their pilots would have no problem, you know, becoming human missiles, you know, or being able to be awake for days to fight battles. You know, that's like those synthetic drugs like that were created in a lab. I'm not too, you know, like ecstasy and stuff like that. Not really into trying any of those, but like natural stuff, I'd probably be more into trying out just because they, you know, there's the natural thing and it's been practiced over, you know, generations of how to use it. And I'd probably go into it in more of a spiritual aspect of it, I guess, rather than just more of a recreational, I want to get fucked up and see crazy things. Like, I do meditation. I find a lot I get a lot of benefit from doing meditation, which I started doing, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, 2 years ago. And, you know, I think it's something that I wish I did more of. And they actually talked about that in that show I was talking about, the Medicine Men Go Wild. And one of the guys actually found a lot of, they went in Tibet. They went to a place where they were doing meditation, and they kind of showed them how there's different types of meditation, and they were doing the way they do it in the Tibetan monasteries and stuff like that. And he definitely saw a huge benefit just in like getting yourself in a mental state where you're not thinking, where you clear your mind, basically giving your mind a break, you know, kind of giving it a little rest. But I find a lot of benefit doing that. And then also just, you know, clearing my head, just like refocusing everything, kind of just, you know, like when you're working, if you work at a computer all day and like you realize your desktop starts getting full of clutter, or your office or your cubicle, it's kind of like just cleaning up everything, reorganizing, and how good that makes you feel. Like when you clean and reorganize your office or whatever, it's like doing that, but for your mind, like just kind of refocusing on the real priorities of what you're dealing with, and kind of just being able to, you know, brush away all the bullshit. But I find a lot of benefit in meditation. And I think that if I were to get into any of those like psychedelics and stuff like that, I think I would come at it from kind of that space rather than more of, you know, what a lot of other people, not a lot, but some other people might come at it as just more of a recreational, like, I want to see spaceships and crazy shit. So I don't know. I find it really interesting. And it's, I think it's, I don't know if it's just, I don't know. It seems like a lot more people, it's a discussion that a lot more people are having nowadays than I think people were having before. Like, I know there's a lot of schools and institutions that are actually starting to do more experiments with psychedelics like mushrooms and things like that, and seeing what benefits they would have in, you know, medicine. So,
yeah, for sure, man. It's you know, as healthcare, as the cost of healthcare keep going up and up, basically, mm-hmm. in this country, you're going to see more and more people start to look to other, you know, more inexpensive methods.
That too.
And, you know, it's a natural process, man.
Well, I think also the more educated people get about these different things, the more they realize that they're not the crazy demonic things that they've been made out to be for so long, you know, like with marijuana, for instance. It's like the education level of people with marijuana, just, I mean, one, so many people smoke marijuana and it's medically legal in a lot of places too. That I think just the education level, people, the viewpoint, you know, back when, you know, Reefer Madness came out, there was a huge stigma put on anybody. But I think now, especially with the internet and stuff like that, you see, you know, one, people aren't afraid to talk about it as much, or there's a lot more people that are able to talk about it more. And you start realizing that there's, you know, people that live, you know, perfectly normal lives. They're not just like losers that sit on the couch and eat donuts all day, or they're not, you know, causing trouble. Like, there's, you know, hugely, like, respectable business owners, creative people, you know, regular everyday people that use these things. And it's not like, you know, this thing that, you know, the schools and the TV shows and the after school specials of our generation growing up, or, you know, the generation before, saying how evil it was and how it ruined your life and how, you know, how unhealthy it is. And it's like, fuck, man, that's not the truth. And it's, people have a lot more access to what the truth is now. And I think it's changing a lot of people's perception of a lot of different things, you know.
All for the good.
All for the good, man. I mean,
oh, show.
There's the thing that happened, Portugal. I think it's Portugal. I had this. Portugal legalized pretty much everything. There he is. Yeah, Portugal. They legalized everything. You know, from heroin to everything. They made it, I forget what they made it, but instead of having putting all their money to criminalizing it and arresting people and, you know, putting people in jail, they put all that money towards helping people recover from whatever addiction they may have. So if you, like, get caught doing heroin or something or whatever, instead of going to jail, you'll be given, you know, treatment. You know, you go to treatment for it. So it's like, and it's like the drug use has gone way down, and like just overall it's like improved. I think, what is it? How did they say? Oh, I thought it had a year. But anyway, they've had it for a while that it's been decriminalized, and, you know, they've seen nothing but benefit from it. And I think that's definitely a good example of what can happen if society and governments took a different stance on certain things, you know, instead of criminalizing and making people criminals for using certain things. Because technically alcohol is a drug, you know, but that's just happens to be legal. But, you know, it's, instead of criminalizing it, you know, it's like offer people help. Like, if somebody does have an addiction, it's like, instead of throwing them in jail, you know, which isn't going to help their, if they do have a problem or want to get off of it, then, you know, I mean, we have some you know, organizations that help with that. But I, you know, there's too much focus put on the drug war instead of, you know, just trying to live with the situation, trying to help out people that, that want help and need help. I mean, freaking prohibition didn't work for alcohol, and, you know, I'm surprised that people still think it's going to work for other things that are less damaging than alcohol is. But
it won't. Eventually. We'll I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens.
This is always a touchy subject to talk about on the podcast because of the fact that you're employed and I'm looking for employment, you know? So I mean, we can't really get into the kind of stuff that we would, this topic anyways, like I would like to personally.
Yeah.
But trust me, we're thinking about it.
Yeah. We're on the same page.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's you know, well, there's one. I don't want to talk about my work at all, you know. But, yeah, that's – it's ridiculous how – I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages to being – everything being available online, you know. Like, employers can check your background from your Facebook page or, you know, if you're someone like me that has a podcast – you know, or if you have a blog or something, you know, you put yourself out there on online. Employers nowadays seem to focus more on that than, you know, whether you're actually able to do the job. But anyways, I think we're good. Unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about. We kind of talked about a lot of different shit. And we did
you
talk
ran
about
the gamut on that question. That's for damn sure.
What's up?
That's
yeah.
what you get. Here well, in Spot Sutter. You get
you know, a... you give us one question, we'll branch out into all different kinds of shit. To
exactly.
talk about.
And that's what it's all about. So exactly. keep them coming.
Yeah.
Public.
Oh, yeah. I did. I tweeted at Derek and Blue Eye Girl the other day. Hopefully they'll be getting on. I just got a tweet back from Jen today, saying that, you know, I got one from Derek too. They're super busy and all that stuff. You know, they just got a kid and got married and all that kind of stuff. And they don't have a whole lot of time, but they're going to try and make some time to come on and talk. So that'd be cool, to get them on too. Hopefully next episode, I'll try and work something out, try and work a time out to get Postal Poet on the show. So we can talk to him and see what he's all about and all that kind of stuff. So that should be cool. And, you know, all the other guests. And if anybody has any questions, or, you know, we will take your Twitter questions. So, send them our way.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And, you can also find the podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate and review the show, tell your friends to subscribe. But if you don't deal with the iTunes stuff, which is totally cool, you can go to inspireddisorder.com/podcast. You can download all the episodes, and the RSS feed is there still, so you can still subscribe through whatever RSS, you know, program you use. And then also, if you're like my man Postal Poet, you can listen to us, stream us to your iPhone or Android phone. Any of our current or past episodes you can find on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can download the app. It's free. I don't know if they have a desktop app. I don't think they do. Maybe they do. But yeah, you can download their app and find us on there and stream all of our shit, which is really cool. And I didn't even have the idea until Postal Poet told me about it. But you can find me at inspireddisorder.com. All my shit, all my projects, artwork. You can also check out our store or my store, which we do have Inspired Disorder merch there, as well as just other merch that I do. And you can also do all that other shit there. And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RayTaylor. Justin.
I am at JustinKing1. On Twitter, that's capital J, capital K, number one. You can also look at my portfolio, see a list of just, you know, upcoming projects, shit I'm doing currently over at my blog. That is jkdesigns.co. That's where you can check out my world.
Cool, man. Cool. And then always thanks to our sponsor, Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com, use coupon code INSPIRED, and save 10% on your order of Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Sport, Shroom Tech Immune, and New Mood. If you want more information on all those natural supplements, go to Onnit.com. They have in-depth descriptions on everything. And like what we were saying before, one way you can get a lot of those natural herbs and supplements is through supplements, because they use a lot of, you know, like valerian root and things like that to in their thing. So it's kind of a way to where you can, you know, kind of stay in touch with the shamans and stuff like that. You know, use natural ways to do certain things. Like I drink valerian root tea when I'm trying to, if I, you know, want to relax, if I'm having muscle pain or, you know, trying to get tired, instead of taking like a, you know, some pharmaceutical sleeping pill, I'll drink some valerian root tea, and that will help me get nice and relaxed and sleepy. If I want to think better, they don't sell a valerian root tea there. I don't think they might, they sell some other supplements that they don't make. But you can check out like Alpha Brain, help you think better, and all the other ones. You know, really recommend it. And you can save 10% using coupon code INSPIRED. And that concludes another episode of the Inspired Disorder Podcast. So until next time, peace out.
Peace out.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Inspired Disorder Podcast. Embedded signals within this podcast have reprogrammed your natural thinking patterns. Side effects may include lack of inhibitions, erectile dysfunction, anal leakage, transcendental communication with beings from 4 of the 7 primary dimensions. In the event of a tear in space-time, please keep your hands down and feet together. Any loss of life or limbs due to interdimensional travel is not the responsibility of this podcast.